In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. For a lot of people, this is one of the most stressful times of the year. People who work in the mental health field will tell you that complaints of depression and anxiety increase around the holidays. There are a variety of reasons why people become more anxious or depressed. For some, the stress of spending time and money they do not have to find the perfect gifts for everyone is overwhelming. Others are stressed by the number of social obligations that they have between now and the end of the year. Some people feel loss at remembering loved ones who won't be with them this year for Christmas. Some people just feel a deep sense of loss because it feels like Christmas is just not what it used to be. We certainly don't have control over the rest of our society or what our culture has done to Christmas. We can't control the traffic around the mall or Crocker Park this time of year. I wish we could. We can't change the advertisements on televisions or the ones stuffed in our newspapers or in our mailboxes. Perhaps we can do something, though, about ourselves. Perhaps we can shift our hopes for Christmas. Maybe we can look at the promises given to us in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the promises we read for the coming of the Lord during these 4 weeks of Advent, and let them direct our attention to something deeper than the endless parade of decorations, all the gifts we're supposed to be buying, and all the social gatherings we're supposed to be going to. Our reading from Isaiah today focuses our hope on a time when the nations of the world will say, "Let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways." That was always the purpose of the temple. That was always the purpose of Israel. When the Lord called Abraham, the Lord said, "Your offspring will be a blessing to all the nations of the world." When the Lord gave the law to the people of Israel, he said that the world would see the way the nation of Israel ordered itself, and people would say, "This is the wisdom from on high, a wisdom that no human can match." It was a wisdom that eventually would make war to cease. When we lived in Virginia, we would fly out of Norfolk International Airport. Now, Norfolk area is surrounded by Army bases and Air Force bases, and the largest naval station in the world is right there in Norfolk. And so when we went to the airport, there were always young men and women in uniform walking through the airport. Some of them were traveling home. Some of them were setting off for Iraq or Afghanistan. When I saw them, I was struck by a couple of thoughts. First, I was struck by the bravery of these young men and women. Many people have made a sport out of complaining about the generations we call the millennials. But these young men and women that I saw were proof that there are many millennials who do not fit the stereotype they've been assigned. The other thing that struck me was a wish that it were not necessary for these young men and women to be sent off to fight. I thought about the waste of life that war is. No matter how noble the cause for which they were fighting, the Lord didn't create us to kill one another. I longed for a world in which these sailors and soldiers, these airmen and airwomen, would not be allowed to put their talents to use killing others, but would be allowed to put their talents and bravery to more creative endeavors. That's the vision that's promised by the prophet Isaiah. He said that when the nations of the world were instructed by the Lord, they would beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning hooks. The Lord could have simply promised that the nations would throw down their weapons or would destroy their weapons, but he didn't stop there. He said that they're going to use the metal from those weapons to make plows and pruning hooks. They're going to make a better use of them. Rather than using tools of metal to kill one another, they would use that same metal for life-giving and life-sustaining work. They would use their resources and their talents to feed one another. The fulfillment of that promise began with the coming of the infant we will celebrate at Christmas. Remember, the Magi from the east, foreigners, came to where the Lord was to be instructed, to see the light, to worship. And later in his life, some Greeks came to his disciple Philip and asked if they could see Jesus. And at that moment, Jesus responded by saying that this was a moment of fulfillment of the promise of the prophet Isaiah. The nations were coming to the house of the Lord to be instructed by him. And you and I are part of that fulfillment. We gathered together here today saying, "Let us go to the house of the Lord for instruction, that we may walk in his ways." Of course, we know the promise has not yet been fully realized. The young men and women in uniform are still necessary in this world. In 2015, the United States still had to spend nearly $600 billion on defense. We're still longing for that day when we will be able to use these lives and these resources to feed the world rather than sending them off for war. We also know that this is the Lord's promise, and he's the only one who can ultimately bring it to fulfillment. But in the time between then and now, we can begin to implement the promise in our own lives. Jesus began to fulfill the promise when he came to Bethlehem and began drawing the whole world to himself. And then he gave his church the authority and power of the Holy Spirit to continue that fulfillment until he comes again as the judge of the nations. Last week I heard an advertisement on the radio in which a couple was talking about putting the magic back in Christmas. One person suggested we could bake cookies and take them to everyone in the neighborhood. The other said, or we could go to the local dealership and buy a new car. The advertisement was for an auto manufacturer, so you know which choice they made. And at the end of the ad, the announcer said, "You too can experience the magic of Christmas if you go buy a new car." I think that maybe baking cookies for the neighborhood would be a better start to putting the magic back in Christmas. Because as we prepare for the celebration of the coming of Christ, we might want to remember the promise that the coming of the Lord brings, the promise of peace. We can't control the world around us. We can't control the nations of the world, nor do we control the message our society sends us about how we should celebrate. But we can make decisions about what we will do. One thing we can do is to invite someone to celebrate Christmas with us here. We can say, "Come, let us go to the house of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths." And if you're going out of town for Christmas, don't let that stop you. There's a church wherever you're going, I'm sure. So find someone and say, "Come, let us go to the house of the Lord that we may learn his ways." Another thing we can do is examine the ways that we are using our own resources and talents? Are we ready to beat our swords into plows or our spears into pruning hooks? We can do this in small ways when we take some of the resources we would spend on ourselves and devote them to feeding others. We can do this in small ways by setting aside old conflicts and looking for reconciliation. Is there someone to whom you need to apologize? Is there someone whom you need to forgive? Are there ways that you can act as a peacemaker between others who are in conflict? As we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us remember that one of the promises made in Jesus is that he will bring peace. And as we submit our lives to his teaching, we can become instruments of his peace and representatives of the hope brought by his coming in Bethlehem. And his promise that when he does come again, there will finally be a peace among all nations, a time when we will not learn war anymore, but a time when we will all serve one another as we go to the mountain of the Lord to learn his ways so that we can walk in his paths. I share this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.